Tonight's shir, Parshas Behar. It's a story, for mice that happened 700 years ago in the time of the Ramban. It's brought in the Sefer Chemdes Yamim. There was once a man, he was a Rasha Gamur. And he knew that if he'd ever wanted to do tshuva, it wouldn't be so accepted. Once he asked the Mekubal Rabbi Moshe de Leon at the time, is there any tshuva for his matzav? So he told them, as it is, you can't just do tshuva. The only way you can be cleansed, you can be cleansed of your sins, Moshe told them, was through kapara of misa. You have to die. So he asked the Rav, and if I will mekabel on myself misa, will I have a chelik in Gan Eden? He answered him, yes. So he says, swear to me that I'll be next to you in Gan Eden. So he swore to him. When he heard that, he followed Moshe de Leon to the Beis Medrash to mekabel on himself misa, death. Fine. So the Rav told him when they got to the Beis Medrash that the misa that he'll have to go through is the misa of Sreifa. And the Sreifa, the Mises basin of Sreifa, is not that they put a bunch of wood around you and light it up, but rather they pour molten lead down your throat. So he said he's prepared. They brought the lead, the Rav lit a fire, started liquefying it, getting nice and hot, melted. Then they told the man to lie down on the bench. They put a blindfold on his eyes. And then the Rav told him, okay, now confess. Make a say vidui for all your sins to Hashem and mekabel on yourself all malchut shamayim and say Shema Yisrael and mekabel on yourself misa against all your sins that you angered your Creator. So the man burst out crying and was ready to die to have his kapara. So the Rav said to him, open up your mouth wide, for the lead, the molten lead, is going to be poured. So he opened up his mouth, and what happened? The Rav poured into him, into his mouth, not molten lead, but rather a concoction of rose leaves, some sweet concoction. And he said, "Saravonecha v'katatzchat tchupar. This is a kapara for you, and your sins are clean." The man screamed out, what's going on over here? Kill me! Well, I want to die. What good is life if I have all these sins? So the Rav said to him, don't worry. You have nothing to worry about. Hashem has accepted your maisi. From then on, the man became a complete Baal Tshuva. He never left the Beis Medrash of the Rav. When eventually the Rav died, this man, this Baal Tshuva, Davin, that he should also die. And before his death, he said, clear the way for Rabbi Moshe de Leon that is coming to keep his oath that he made to me, that he's going to bring me with him to Gan Eden, that I should be by his side. And then the man died. And after his death, a number of the elders, they had a dream that in fact, they saw this man, this Baal Tshuva, sitting next to Moshe de Leon in the next world. This is the story. What's the lesson? Many people there feel that they have so many sins and got used to doing them, and they said, "How are they ever gonna do tshuva? And to change their ways, it's difficult, and as bitter as death." And as a result, they end up not doing tshuva. He says, how can I do it? It's too hard. It's impossible. So what happens? If all they have to do is try, if they put in their effort and they're mekabel themselves to do it, then they'll see in the end it'll be a nice sweet mixture. It's not, in fact, so difficult. Like this man, he thought, oh, what do I have to do? I have to die. He said, you don't have to, as long as you accept upon yourself the death, then from then on it's sweet. So too here, if you accept and you try to do tshuva, from then on everything is sweet. Where do we see this yesod? connected to our parsha, the mitzvah of Shemitah. It says in the pasuk in Tehillim, Baruch Hu es Hashem Malachav, Gibore Koach, Osei Devaro, Lishmoa Bekol Devaro. So the Midrash says, who are these Gibore Koach, these strong, strong people? Says the Midrash, Amar Rabbi Yitzhak, this is talking about Shomri Shviz, people that keep Shemitah. A person does a mitzvah, says the Midrash, he does a mitzvah, takes a few minutes, may do a mitzvah for a day, a week, a month. But here we have a person that is leaving his source of parnasa, his field, fallow for an entire year, and still paying tax on it, but not using it, and fine, doesn't say anything. Says the Midrash, Yesh lecha gibor gadol mizeh, is there any great hero, any great person, a stronger person than this, is able to leave his parnasa for an entire year and trust in Hashem? However, as we know, the Torah promises, "V'tzivisias birchasi lachem b'shana hashishit v'asatzet v'ag l'shlosh shanim," meaning that at first the person is a little bit hesitant, he's nervous. You know, what's going to be? I leave my field fallow. He's asked for to do mesiras nefesh. Yes, it's going to be hard, but you got to do it. This is what Hashem wants from you. So he says, okay, holds his breath and jumps in the water. Here we go. But what happens in the end? In the end, Hashem sends 3 years of produce. So he'll have plenty for 6th year, the 7th year, the 8th year. He thought he was going to go through murder. And in the end, he got himself a concoction of rose leaves. Similarly, we find by Hananya Mishael V'Azaria, they were asked to bow down to the Tselem of Nebuchadnezzar. And even though they could have run away, they decided they're going to Moser Nefesh and allow themselves to be thrown in the Kivshan, to the fiery furnace, in order to Mekadeshem Shammai. They asked Yechezkel and Navi, is a nes going to happen to them? And he said, no. So they said, we don't care. Even though this is it, we're going to our deaths, we're going to do so, because it's a Kiddush Hashem. And they committed themselves, they went into the fire, as we know, they were miraculously saved. Once again, a person has to give it his all, be prepared to Moser Nefesh, and after that, everything is sweet, everything gets taken care of. Brings one last example of this, the Aron HaBris. Goes through the whole Cheshbon, that it was with the wood and the gold and the kruvim and everything. It was a very heavy, heavy piece of structure. And the weight, he makes the whole cheshbon, it weighs about 8,000 kilograms. 8,000 kilos, quite heavy. And the four levim were chosen to carry it. Four people, how are they supposed to carry 8,000 kilos on their shoulders? But what? They just said, okay, here we go. Went, picked up the staves, and what happened? As the Gemara and Sota tells us, the Aron is nosiat nosa. Not only that we were able to lift it, says the Aron carried those that carried it. Once again, you get ready to grin and bear, and then everything is easy after that. Rav Galinsky relates that once an Avreich came to him, after Yom Kippur, he says that he didn't understand what the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the ones that put together their tefillah's ne'ilah, what do they want from us? Okay, he says, I understand, I'm not perfect. So it says in the pasuk in Koheles, ki adam ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechata, everybody sins. So he says here that to be thankful for Shlomo Melech, that wasn't for this pasuk, this guy would think he's 100%. Okay, so he said, but Lamaisa, what are we saying in Ne'ilah? The main sin that we bring out, that we mention, that we confess for Ne'ilah, it says, V'telamdeinu Hashem Elokeinu litzvadot lefanecha al kol avonoseinu. We have to confess for all our sins. L'manechtal me'oshek yadeinu. So there, so we should stop stealing. So we should stop stealing. So he said, well, what's going on over here? Hashem, this thing's for a bunch of thieves? That is the main thing we repeat in the Ila, the lofty prayer of the Ila, who of us are thieves? So Rav Galinsky answered him and said, listen, it says in this week's Parsha, Bahar, and when you're selling something, you purchase, al tonu isha tachiv. Okay, you're not supposed to cheat your fellow man when you're selling something. So Rav Galinsky asked, do you think, are you sure you're not over on this? This is theft, cheating your fellow. Are you sure you were not over on this? So Gemara said, what? Me? What are you talking? I steal? What are you talking? So he said, let me give you an example. Give you a story that happened to me. He said about 25 years ago. He said it was about 11 o'clock at night, and I get a knock on the door. So I open up the door. It's a young woman, and she's crying bitterly, crying and crying and crying. He says, I knew she was. She was a girl that we brought up in our house. He says we raised a number of children, B'liyayin Hara. And she ended up learning in seminar Rav Wolf, and she came to help us. And she was in our house for a while. Eventually, she got married to a very chashav ben Torah. So we were very happy for her, and we were invited to all the smachot, the brises, and kiddush, etc., kiddushes. So what happened? So she's crying, it's hard for her to talk. Finally, she is able to talk. And she says, you know, my whole dream in life was just to marry a ben Torah. To be like Rachel, the wife of Rabbi Akiva. Shaliv shalachem shalah. I was offered this bachur and somebody really special, as they say, Gabrulov as a halal, right? Praise after praise, he was going to be one day a gadol ador. So I was, so excited, and I married him. And, they said that he's tremendous balmidos, and he's good with people, and everything. Bachur Zahav, they say, golden bachur. Fine. So she's crying some more again. So she says, what happened? Well, I told him, you don't have to help in the house. I just wanted to sit and learn. And he's sitting and learning in Kolel, and everybody's praising him, doing great. And in fact, I'm taking the whole load of the house on myself. I work 1.5 jobs, and besides that, I take care of the kids, and cook, and clean, and wash, everything. Everything, take care of this, just so my husband can sit and learn. Okay, so what happens? One day, he gets up. Husband gets up and he has a sore throat. He's burning with fever. He has a flu. So he said, okay, I'm sure it'll pass. It's a flu. But today, he has to stay home. He can't go to Kol with a burning fever. So I figured, okay, no problem. We have plenty of Sfarim in our house. He can sit in our house. So I got the kids organized, got them off to school. I went to work. And that's that. And then came the problem when I came home. And she starts crying and crying. So finally she calms down. And she says, I came home and I saw he was reading a newspaper. So he says, but what? That's why for this, she says, I'm ripping myself apart day and after day with 1.5 jobs and then 6 kids in order to see he could read a newspaper? And she's crying and crying and crying. So I turned to the husband. I said, he says, and I asked him, well, what's what do you have to say? So he says, I think she's exaggerating a little bit. After all, she got herself a good husband. And I was sick, and I was sitting and learning. But after all, I just needed a little bit of break, or whatever. So I pick up my newspaper. Okay, so what? So, Galinsky says, you know what? He says, fine, you know, you're right. You're right. But I have a question. What caused her to be so shocked? Why did she saw a newspaper? Oh, a newspaper. What? And she's crying so bitterly. Why? What caused her to be so surprised? Says the answer is that you fooled her. She thought she was marrying somebody who would never pick up a newspaper. And you played the game. You played the game the whole time, ever since you went out with her and got engaged, got married, and everything. She always got the impression that you're not a guy that would pick up a newspaper, ever. That's the picture you painted. But it's not 100% true. So you fooled her a little bit. So he says, what do you call yourself? It would be like a Esrog Mahudar with a little black dot. You're basically Mahudar, but yeah, little black dot. But you hit it. So Galinsky concluded, and he says, you see, wouldn't you say that how this Avreich act is included in the Pasuk, that when you sell somebody to something to somebody, that you can't cheat the person? He says, what's the difference if you're hiding a blemish of a article that you're selling, or you're hiding a blemish of yourself that you're giving over impression to somebody else? So he says, isn't that something that we have to misvade on the Ilah? That, you know, maybe this is also included in the overall sin of stealing. That sometimes we give people the wrong impression. That's included in the Isser of Lo Sono. And that's something to misvade on Yom Kippur. One day, the Gon Rabbi Baruch Ber Kamenetz, that's all, sent one of his students to do a little shlichas for him, and he gave him a letter. He says, can you please mail this letter? He was mailing this letter, Baruch Ber, to his Talmid, Rabbi Yona Minsker, which is a Gon Rabbi Yoni, Rabbi Yona Karpilov Zatzal, Shem Yimkom Damo. He's the author of the Sefer Yonas Elim, and he was now learning in the Mir. And he wanted to send him this letter. Baruch Ber wants to send him this letter that he should come to him to help him in the writing map of his shurim, which are going to be put to print, made a sefer out of. Because he knew he was very, very competent, very tremendous abilities in writing, and so therefore he asked if he could please come to Kamenetz to help him on a sefer. Okay, so this Rav Yona, by the way, he had went to the Mir with Rabbi Yarileib Malin, and together they went from there to Brisk to learn under the Briskerov. And after they made a kinyan in his Derech Alimu, then they went back to the Mir. So now our Baruch Ber is sent from Kamenetz to the Mir. Please asked of Rav Yona if he can come and help him with his sefer. Why? Because his shirim were given over in Yiddish, and they were very, very tief. The shirim were finely put together and set over in Yiddish, and now they had to be put into Lashon HaKodesh, so it needed very precise translating, according to present the ideas properly. And he knew nobody can do this as well as Rav Yona Minsker. Fine. What happens? The next day, Baruch Ber approaches the young man which he had asked to mail the letter, and he says, did you mail the letter? The Bacher said, you know, I really apologize that I know I was supposed to mail it, but I forgot, but don't worry, I'll mail it today. So Baruch Ber says, no, lefach. Boy, I'm so happy. You took a load off me. I was really nervous. I thought you mailed it already, and I decided I don't want to mail the letter. Why? Yes. Says, I'll tell you. The emes is that there's nobody like Rav Yona that could help me with my sefer. And if he would put the words down, it would be a tremendous benefit for the rabbim in understanding and the depth of the sefer. But I started thinking, you know, if I send this letter to Rav Yona, who's in the Mir, and send for him and come all the way from the mir to here to help me. It's inevitable that there might be some bachurim in the yeshiva here that are going to feel slighted and say, you know, they're sending all the way to the mir to bring review. Why can't we do it? What, we're not adept? We can write. We could. Why does he have to send for review all the way to the mir? So he says, you know, I can't hurt these people's feelings. So Galinsky said, we see a big chiddush over here. Why? Because here we understand somebody out and out hurts somebody's feelings. You know, it's aser. But here he wasn't hurting anybody directly. He was sending for this bachur to help him. But since indirectly other people, other bachur would feel slighted, he didn't want that. Felt it was wrong. But not only that, the big chiddush is that even though if he would have sent for Rav Yonah, the work would have been done better, and it would have been a greater benefit for the world, the Torah world. It's still all that is worth to put over off to the side and not to hurt some bachurim here indirectly here in the yeshiva. That's the chiddush. Now, where does Rav Baruch Ber get this from? Where did he understand this from? From the Gemara. More in Brachas, where it says in Tav Kav Zayin, famous story, Rabban Gamliel, when he was the Nasi, he had a machloikas with Rabbi Yeshua about Tfilas Mariv, is it Rishus, is it not? And he asked Rabbi Yeshua to stand up on his feet, and he was mitzar him. So the rabbis of the time felt that was incorrect in causing tzar to Rabbi Yeshua, like that, and they took him down from his nesias. Took him down. So now came the question, is who's going to be the new Nasi? So the Gemara said, if we're going to put Rabbi Yeshua, maybe Rabbi Yeshua himself should be the new Nasi. So the Gemara says, no, that can't be. Why? Because he's Bal Maisahu. In other words, it was because of him that Rabbi Gamli was taken down from being the Nasi. And Rashi says, "V'yelo l'Rabban Gamliel tzar gadol yoter." It's bad enough that he's been taken down from his nesias, Rabban Gamliel, but dafka to have the person who, because of him, he was taken down, he is going to become the nasi instead of him. That would give him extra tzar. So here too, Rabbi Yeshua was a gadol b'Yisrael, and he was an av beis din. And even Rabban Gamliel was mispiled from his tremendous chachma, and in Nistar and Nigla, the Gemara says in Chagiga. And if he would be the Nasi, I mean, he was the man. He was the one that should be the Nasi after Rabban Gamliel. He was the God of Lador. But what? Still, even though it would have been a tremendous toalis for the world Jewry, if Rabbi Yeshua would have been the new Nasi, but that was not the case. He didn't become so. Why? In order not to hurt the feelings of Rabban Gamliel. So here we see again, it's kedai to mivater on all this tremendous amount of toelis in order not to hurt even indirectly somebody's feelings. There's a story of an avreich that he was zochet to sleep in the same room with Rabbi Yehuda Segel Zatzal. He was a Rosh Yeshiva of Manchester. This person was from a Bai Chassidi, and he prepared for himself water by his bed to do Nagel Vasser in the morning, Tilas Yadayim. So he was shocked when he saw Rabbi Yehuda Segel was in the room with him, that when he got up in the morning, and before him. And he went out and he did Nagel Vasser outside. I don't know exactly how he knew this while he was sleeping, but Rav Segel got up and he did it outside. He didn't do it in the room. So he asked, well, why? So Rav Yehuda explained, he says, listen, there's a sheet of the Shfus Yaakov that he paskins, that a b'shas ha'dachak, you can be mekel, and considered like the whole house like Dalet Amos, and therefore you can do it anywhere in the house. Now, there's a shita like that. Now, if I would have done Negev Aser in the room when you were sleeping, he said that would be Gezel Shena, which is Midoraisa. So how can I be Machmir on a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah b'avera. Here I'm going to be Machmir in doing the Tzitzitayim and on the Chashat. I might wake you up. And for the hitter to wake you up and be over on the Isra of Gezel, Gezel Shena, waking a person up from his sleep, stealing one's sleep, nothing doing. That's why I did the Negev Aser outside. Also, there's a mice with Rav Yitzchak Yaakov Ruderman, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Neir Yisrael in Baltimore, that he, when he was younger, he learned in Slobodka. And one day he had a very, very big kasha on what he was learning. So he asked all his the great chavirim in the yeshiva, Rav Aaron Cutler, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and nobody was able to give an answer. So at that time, Hagon Rabbi Leib Rubin Zatzal of Kovna was in Kovna, and Slobodka was like an outskirts of Kovna. So Rabbi Yitzchak Yaakov Ruderman decided he was going to pay a visit to Rav Leib to try to get an answer to his question. So he crossed the bridge, he went over and to visit Rav Leib. Rav Leib heard the question, went over the sugya, whatever, and he saw that in fact it was a very, very difficult question, and he had no answer off the cuff. So he says, okay, I guess, let me think about it. Fine. So Rabbi Ruderman left him, went back to home to Slobodka. Fine. Went to sleep. That's that. The morning, Ruderman wakes up, and he's shocked, because who's standing over his bed? Rabbi Leib. He's an older man already. Elderly Rav. And he schlepped all the way from Kovna to Slobodka, and he's standing there over his bed. So he says, what's the Rav doing here? So he says, I was just waiting till you woke up. He says, after you left, I was looking into the sugya more, and I think I found an answer to your question. So I came now to Slobodka, and I asked where you live and where you stay, and when I came, I saw that you're sleeping. So get up, say Birkas HaTorah, and I'll tell you the answer. So Ruderman said, what? You mean the Rav's must have been standing here for hours. Why did you wake me up? So he said, What? Wake you up and be over on Gezel Shena? That would be a mitzvah Baba Vera. Wake you up to tell you a Torah. That's a mitzvah that comes through Nevera. So couldn't wake you up. Another famous Misa, along the same lines, that Netziv Mivolozhin, his grandson was Rav Chaim Mibrisk, and every Sukkos, Rav Chaim, he used to make a bracha on his grandfather's Esrog, Netziv. But one year he didn't. So he asked, Netziv asked his grandson, how come you didn't want to make a bracha on my Esrog this year? So he said, well, because this Esrog is from Eretz Yisrael, and it's now right after the Shemitah year, and one is not allowed to bring Perishvis outside of Eretz Yisrael. So we're outside of Eretz Yisrael. I didn't want to use this, make a bracha on an Esrog that was taken out against the Halacha. So Netziv said, oy, if that's the case, then this is it's my Esrog, it's a question for me also, whether I can make a bracha on this Esrog. So the Netziv went home. Early morning, the Rav Chaim, the grandson, gets a knock on his sukkah door. Somebody calls him. He says, quick, get up. Your grandfather's coming. So he was shocked. What was he calling me? It was like 4 o'clock in the morning. He says, what's going on? So chas v'shalom, something happened. So he quickly got up, and he didn't until his yadayim, and he ran to the sukkah of his grandfather in the Netziv. When he opened the sukkah door, he saw his grandfather leaning over piles of svarim. He looks up, looks up, and he sees his grandson standing there. He says, oh, says I was looking into it, and I found a way to machshir the esrog. And he starts saying, begins with this whole pilpul to explain him his theory. So Rav Chaim, his grandson, stopped him. He says, wait, excuse me, but Before you start getting and telling me this whole Torah over here, you know, I have to say Birkas HaTorah. You know, I just woke up, so you have to say Birkas HaTorah before you learn Torah. So he started to say Birkas HaTorah, and he saw in the meantime his grandfather at seat was crying. So he asked him, why, Zadie, why are you crying? So he answered him, he says, if I knew that you were sleeping, I would have never sent somebody to wake you up. To wake you up? You know, Gezel Shena, I would have never sent somebody to wake you up if I knew you were sleeping. But I never dreamed that at 4 o'clock in the morning you'd still be sleeping. Should all be Zoiche, in fact, to be careful of our ways, to hurt our fellow man, to be over on various forms of Gezel. And it's a shame if we are careful to do so, and we in fact confess the way we were supposed to, as we saw at the beginning of tonight's shiur, we can hope that all our ways will be sweet, sweet as rose leaves, and we can hope further that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer all our tefillos in a nice, sweet way, Mizocha, that the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, Bimhira V'yameinu.